Hey, this is Jim from the band Sparta, and you're listening to the Vulgar Display of Podcast.
Welcome to the Vulgar Display, a podcast live from the Barn Studio. You got the Mox here with Dale and Anthony. What's up, boys?
Howdy.
I'm excited.
Yes.
Me too. We got an absolute legend on the line right now. We have Mr. Jim Ward from Sparta, the band. You have to say the band. You got to tag the band with it, right? Jim, how are you, man?
I'm good. I appreciate the tag.
Yeah. For sure.
I'm sure you get those 300 jokes all the time. This is Sparta.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's been a while, but man, that was a time on stage. Oh, every day you walk out in that shit. Every day.
I can only imagine.
We're real excited for the 20 Years of Wiretap Scars Tour. June 4th at Red Flag in St. Louis. Doors at 7. Got Sparta. Got Mr. Jeff from Thursday. And then Zeta? What's the last band's name?
I think it's Zeta.
Zeta.
Yeah, I haven't met them yet, but if you watch them online, you're going to be blown away.
It's been a minute for Sparta.
It has.
Little pause.
Yeah, I've been walking through the forest trying to figure it out.
Got to find yourself sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And know obviously that you're a businessman and you own a few and I'm sure that keeps you pretty busy. How are you able to manage, you know, being a touring musician and a professional musician all these years and some of the other things that you're involved in?
So I take pretty huge breaks, which is why my bands are never super huge. I don't really worry about I worry about business, but I don't let it ever get in the way of the creativity, and I never let that get in the way of mental health for me on tour. And so what I found is that for me, 2 weeks is about the maximum amount of time I really enjoy being on tour, and then I need to come home for a couple of weeks. And that has been, it took a long time to sort of figure out that formula. But now that I've found it, it's awesome because every show feels like I want to be there. And that is not always the case, you know?
That seems to be kind of a trend. There's some other tours that are going around in the metal world, and they're doing that. They're starting a tour, and then they're doing a little break and going home and spending time with their families and then rejoining and going back out on the road.
I think, honestly, it's really respectful to the fans because I feel like everybody's getting a show that the band wants to be there, and that's our job, right? Our job is we've been hired by the crowd to play for them, and I think that that's important that we take care of ourselves and can do it. You know, I've been doing this a long time, so early on it was about having fun and being out forever and having crazy parties all the time, and then as you get older, that's just not as fun, you know?
Right. Like you said, it's more for the fans. You get, you know, go for the fans, come home, decompress for a bit, and then right back to it.
Yeah. See your family and then go do it again. And then you enjoy it, which is shockingly what is supposed to happen.
You mentioned you've been doing this for a while, probably since maybe the mid 90s or so. How's the music industry changed since then? And I don't know how long we have.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot you could say about it.
Lucky in a way that I started touring before, like kind of pre-internet, pre-cell phone, when we still carried maps in the van and used dialers to call the next city, and all of those adventures that kind of, I think, built a lot of character in my generation of bands. And then I got to be sort of one of the last bands that sold physical records in kind of a monumental way. So like around 2001, it just started going digital, right? And everybody's record sales started plummeting. And I think it changed who was in the game. And I think that for all the bad that did and all the lack of resources that it created, it also built a new generation of people that do it because they love doing it, because it's not like the money, the sort of massive money was gone for the majority of us. I mean, there's still huge bands, right? But the middle class of rock and roll actually was middle class. Like, we're working musicians. And for a while, you could be sort of middle class musicians that were really wealthy because there was just a ton of money being made selling records. And then that kind of changed. And I sort of feel like there's people that are doing it now really want to do it. And I sort of respect that more than it's a good business model. And then I think now, full circle, there's sort of this new appreciation for physical copies of records and vinyl, and people are kind of appreciating. I mean, the pandemic had something to do with this, but people are sort of really grateful to go to shows and interact with each other and with a band and buy a record and buy a t-shirt and know that that t-shirt is supporting that musician and their family and their livelihood. And I really love that stuff. Like, I love being a blue collar musician. I've never wanted to be super famous or super rich or any of that. Like, it's never been appealing to me. But being just like a hardworking musician that has worked hard for what he has and is appreciative of it is kind of everything.
Do you think coming up in El Paso has something to do with that? Right.
Oh, yeah.
Cause you're on your own little island. Right. And it's a hard working town. I'm sure, you know, yeah. Never been there, but I
get on the grind, get it from the dirt. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sort of in the middle of nowhere. And if you're here, I'm like fifth generation El Pasoans. My family's been here a long time and they came on the railroads. So I come from like a pretty long line of kind of weirdos in the middle of nowhere working to get by. And I love it. I've never wanted to, I mean, I wanted to leave when I was 18, you know, and that's why I was in a band, because I wanted to go on tour, but I've never lived anywhere else. I've always lived here.
And
when sort of my whole band moved to LA, I was like, why do you want to go pay LA rent?
Yeah, like, right.
We're on tour. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I kind of love, you know, we call it like the brackish water of El Paso, because right. It's sort of, it's not really the first world. It's not really the third world. It's not really Mexico. It's not really the US. It's just kind of a weird
right in the
port city of strangeness. And I love it, but it's a hardworking city. And I think there's a humility that comes to living here that has benefited me a lot.
You kind of hear people, and I'm definitely this way. I'm a homebody, right? I love to be at home, but I love to travel too. But one of the parts I like about traveling is that I get to come home if that makes any sense, right?
Yeah, 100%. That's it. I mean, go and get those experiences and then come back where you feel good and recharge and do it again.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to get any experiences from the outside world if you don't go out there, right?
Sure, absolutely.
It seems like your career, you've kind of done it on your own terms anyway. I know that, you know, you come from a skateboard background and a punk rock ethos. Is that still in you? You know, all these years where you've grinded it out in those vans and you've slept on the floors and you've done it your way. Is that still in there?
I think that's where I'm happiest, to be honest. Like, I sort of have shied away, or also maybe looking back, like blown some shit up on purpose to not have to be in a world that I didn't feel comfortable in. And I think that end of the day, this is where I'm happiest, is kind of in this, the community that I'm in. And I like playing these size shows. And don't get me wrong, like we go and open for Pearl Jam and play arenas, and that's a blast, you know, but that's not my, I don't have to worry about all the stuff that entails. I just get to be a guest at that sort of event, you know?
You get to go on vacation.
Yeah, that's your
get
vacation.
To go on vacation and play for their crowd and get to play big rooms, and it's super fun. But at the end of the day, when it's our show, I really love this size. And a lot of that's just come from wanting to be mentally healthy and not sort of destroy myself. And that took a long time to learn. And sometimes I would just step away from music for 3 or 4 years. And that is not beneficial, again, for your career all the time. But I think for me, it's all about sort of the long game. Like, I like making records and I like playing shows, and I want to do it for a really long time. So I don't want to put it all into one basket and hope that something happens and I'm happy at the end of it, because I sort of am happy with what I'm doing, you know?
So when you step away like that for years at a time, I mean, you're still creating, right? Are you still writing, you know?
Yeah, I put out 3 records in the last 3 years.
Yeah, so that never turns off. Like you said, that's more of like a mental decompression to get away and do it for your mental sanity.
Yeah. And then starting to go play shows when you want to play shows. Like, this is the biggest tour schedule in 15 years, easily. And like, I'm looking forward to it, because I've stretched what normally would have been a 4-month tour. I've stretched it out over a year plus. And so we'll just keep announcing stuff and keep playing shows. And that's fun for me. I keep telling the people that I work with, like, I don't have an agenda. Like, this just has to be, I mean, the only agenda I have is that we have fun. And that it's beneficial for everybody that's involved, and nobody is getting hurt and nobody is going crazy and everybody is paying their bills, and then we're good. That's it.
Same.
Yeah.
You may be one of the most successful people I've ever talked to just through this conversation. That I'm envious of your lifestyle.
Well, when you get to, again, it's sort of all expectations, right? Like, I don't expect to be rich, so I'm good. Like, if we're getting by and we're having a fine lifestyle, and you know, my wife and I have a restaurant that we work at, and it's fun. And then it's really fun to go on tour and get away from the restaurant for a couple of weeks and then come back. And it's, you know, the expectations are the thing that I think is sort of the part that will get you. Mm-hmm. So if your expectations are just to enjoy life, then it makes it a lot easier.
So you said you're excited about this tour. Are we ready for this tour? Because I think you're like leaving in what, like 6 days or something?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that I am. This is the longest I've ever practiced before a tour. Cause I was like, this record is really important to some people. And the only reason that we even talked about doing this sort of celebration thing is we were on tour with the Get Up Kids at their celebration of 4 Minute Mile. And we were talking to fans, and so many of the fans were just talking about how important this record was in their life. And I had not seen it that way. You know, for me, I have different memories of this whole record and cycle and that part of my life, but it was so important to some people that I was talking to. And so when I came home and we decided to do this, we made a commitment to do the tour, and I was like, I do not want to fuck this up. So I'm going to work really hard to make sure that when I get out there, it's a different band than it was 20 years ago. And I don't want to be in that band. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I want to be in this band, but I want to play these songs as this band, which I love being in this band.
I'm a bit of a gearhead and a gear nerd. What are you taking out on tour with you? I know you've played Orange in the past, and Orange amplifiers and Gibsons. Yeah. What are you playing on this tour?
I play AC30, the one speaker.
Okay.
Which I love. I'm only going to mic up one speaker, right? So why do I need to carry more?
And right.
That may get bigger depending on how this tour goes. We'll see. Right now, what I really love to play is just one AC30. And then I tour with two, basically, Telecasters. One of them just has one pickup, so it's kind of like an Esquire, but essentially two Teles. Like four delay pedals on my board.
Easy, David Gilmour.
It's so that I don't have to change them.
Look at that thing. That's all.
So there's like certain songs. I use swells a lot. Like, so I use a real long delay so that I could do the volume swell. But it's like, it's really annoying to try and change those in between songs. So I have like a backup. I have like a backwards delay and then like a long delay. And I know now you can buy pedals that do all that shit, but I like to have old pedals that you step on still. I don't understand how they work. That's the real truth.
We're too stubborn in our ways, man. Right.
Yeah.
Honestly, I see guys on tour that have their laptops plugged into their pedal boards, and I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
No. I know
I
know.
I'm barely existing on Instagram. I'm not going there.
So there's no backing tracks for you guys then? What you hear is you count it off and you go, right?
Yeah.
I don't even like clicks on stage, so... We play with just the three guys playing and enjoying what happens and letting the music do what the music does. And sometimes it goes off the rails, and that's fucking great.
Yeah, you know? That's what a live show is.
Yeah, no offense to people that use backing tracks. I mean, I've done it before, but now I love the idea that if you want to stop playing guitar and just talk to the crowd for a second and clap hands and sweat and drink a beer, all that stuff is okay, because there's no parameters that I have to stay within, you know?
Right, no boundaries.
No bad.
Can we ask you about your video podcast?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's only a couple out as far as that I was able to find, but the guests are wide in variety. You have a congresswoman who you interviewed, and then you have Buzz Osborne. How did that come about, and what's the state of that? Can we expect more of those?
Yeah, I was supposed to do Norwood from Fishbone tomorrow, and it got canceled because my partner had an emergency, the guy who films it and produces it. So this all started during the pandemic. I was doing this thing called Friday Beers on Instagram, and I did like 64 episodes of it. And it was because our tour got canceled like everybody else. So it was like friends that I would have seen on tour. I was just hitting up on Instagram and saying like, hey, do you want to have a beer and just talk for 45 minutes? And then at the end of it, they would say, oh, this was fun. You should hit up so-and-so, like my friend, blah, blah, blah. So I got to meet people that I didn't know before. I made a bunch of new friends, but once everything kind of opened up, I wanted to do it in person. So I did. There's one episode you can see on YouTube that has three guests, which is like David Garza, which is a good friend of mine and a musician, and Beto O'Rourke, who's a politician and friend of mine, and this guy Tim, this like Unreal bass player, and all this stuff is like going and meeting people and just having conversations. I don't do any research or anything. I just go and hang out and talk about stuff. So if somebody's coming through town, like Buzz was a friend of a friend, and so I just said, hey, you want to meet me and chat for a bit? And he's up for it. And you know, Veronica's been a friend of mine a long time and has an insane job, so that's always fun to talk to her and sort of demystify some of that stuff. And I look forward to it. I want to do more of these. I would love to sort of continue on in this weird journey of talking to people. I found it's as much fun to do, to be on that side of the microphone. I've been on this side for a long time, but it's fun to be on the other side.
Right, right.
And I really enjoyed them. I clicked on them, you know, just as we were doing some background research on here, and 30 minutes later, the episode's over.
It's especially, I mean, buzzes. People are so fucking fascinating. Yeah, and yeah. I'm all about origin stories. It's like all of them have kind of the same theme, which is like, how'd you get here? Like, how did you get from birth to this conversation in 25 minutes? And like, and what point in that conversation are we just going to go on the tangent about something? And it's been really fun. I look forward to, like, we are trying to get a Republican state congressman to come on, because I don't want it to just be the people that I agree with. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I want to sort of learn from them as well. And Texas is such a weird state anyway. And so hopefully that works out. We get to do more of these, and also people that I wouldn't normally hang out with, is kind of the idea.
Well, we're enjoying them, and we're excited to see some more. We're also excited for June 4th at Red Flag in St. Louis. Finally having you guys back, man. It's going to be a good one, and we're really excited for
it. Just a little wait.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait. Thank you so much for having me and taking the time, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.